RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Indonesia-Vietnam agree to have diplomacy on Natuna dispute. Indonesia offers three mega project to China during the One Belt, One Road conference. Indonesia prepares five tourist destinations for IMF World Bank delegation meetings. And now the news in detail. Five Filipino flag foreign fishing boats have been successfully abused in North Sulawesi waters by Indonesian Ministry of Fishery and Marine Affairs patrol boat. The boats have been proven of not doing re-registration. Secretary General of the Indonesian Ministry of Fisheries and Marine Affairs, Rifki Effendi Hardianto, in a press statement held at the ministry office on Tuesday, said that last May 17, 2017, in North Sulawesi waters, the ministry patrol boat abused five foreign fishing boats from the Philippines. The boats were supposed to have a new registration before sailing back to their country. The boats were abused while sailing before completing their registration. Rifki Effendi Hardianto said the governments of the Republic of Indonesia and Vietnam agreed to diplomatically settle the Natuna incident in the area of Indonesia exclusive economic zone. Their report was conveyed after the Minister of Fisheries and Marine Affairs, Susi Pujiastuti, met with the Vietnamese ambassador in Jakarta on Tuesday.
We have agreed to handle the issue diplomatically. We don't need to fight on the ocean, but we have to go through the diplomatic step. That's why we ask Vietnam not to do any kinds of activities in the area in which Vietnam thinks that it was theirs and Indonesia also think it was ours. We just need to follow the Indonesian existence there. Rifki also said that the ministry will coordinate with the Foreign Affairs Ministry. It was said that in the near future, 400 Vietnamese fishermen in Natuna and Pontianak will be repatriated to their country. Rifki argued that the repatriation of hundreds of Vietnamese fishermen is part of the barter to bring back the ministry staff Gunawan. The legal process will only be done for the helmsman and the captain of the boat. Indonesia offered three mega projects to China on the One Belt, One Road conference in Beijing, China recently. The Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, said that China sees that Indonesia is a good investment partner. To the media, the minister explained on Tuesday, May 23, 2017, that Indonesia has over three areas to China for investment. The minister also said that the three areas are Bitung in North Sulawesi, North Kalimantan, and North Sumatra.
Proyek itu kita ambil satu adalah di Bitung. Bitung itu terintegrasi.
We take one project in Bitung. Bitung will be integrated with toll road, train, airport, harbor, industrial district, and property too. Then, North Kalimantan has a potency to build 7,200 megawatt electricity. We also want to make smelter there. The third is North Sumatra. Minister Luhut also said that Bitung need an international airport because the airfield in Manado is not enough, while tourists from China to Manado has increased to 1,200%. A railway for train to Gorontalo will also be built. Therefore, tourists have an easy access to reach tourism destinations such as Punakan and Wakatobi. Minister Luhut also explained, for North Kalimantan, China company CITIC will invest infrastructure from Kuala Tanjung to Parapat until Sibolga. North Sumatra will also be built. The integrated road will also be built to connect North Sumatra with Pekanbaru, Duri, and Dumai. Indonesia will host the annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank in 2018. The meeting will be held in Nusa Dua, Bali in October 2018. The coordinating minister of the Maritime, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, said that 12 to 15,000 people will attend the event. At Coffee Morning in Jakarta held on Tuesday, May 23rd, Minister Luhut explained that the government will also prepare 5 tourist destinations for the annual meeting delegates.
Danau Toba, Borobudur,
Lake Toba, Borobudur, up to Karimun, Java, and South Yogyakarta. Bali, of course, Labuan Bajo, Tanah Toraja. So those are destinations which will be prepared. There are indeed extra funds, but we see there is not too much of a problem. Minister Luhut further explained, currently the Ministry of Finance is calculating extra funds in preparing the tourist destination. Luhut pointed out for Bali, the government will build infrastructure and underpass. The infrastructure development project for tourist development will be conducted by the Ministry of Public Works and People's Housing. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Following several state visits conducted by several heads of state to Indonesia, such as King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud of Saudi Arabia and King Carl XVI Gustav of Sweden, Russian Ambassador to Indonesia Mikhail Yurievich Gagarin said during a press conference in Jakarta, Wednesday, 24 May, Russia is preparing a state visit to Indonesia. Nevertheless, Russia will not be harshly carried out so that the result will be significant and cover all sectors of cooperation.
We are working on it now. We are working on further high-level dialogue between our countries. We are proceeding from the point that these kind of contacts, especially the presidential contacts, should be well prepared and should result in significant agreements reaching all areas of our cooperation, from political and security area to trade, economic investment, and cultural and education cooperation. So that's what we are working on now together with our Indonesian friends.
Previously, Ambassador Mikhail Galusin said Indonesia had been inviting Russia, such as President Joko Widodo, to President Putin during Russian-Indonesian summit in 2016 and Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi to Minister Sergei Lavrov. However, the exact date of the visit has not been announced. Russian cruiser Varjak has docked at Tanjung Priok Port, Jakarta since 21 May 2017. The flagship of Russian Navy's Pacific Fleet is visiting Indonesia to strengthen relationship and cooperation between Russian and Indonesian Navy. That was stated by Varjak Ship Commander Alexei Ulyanenko in a press conference at Tanjung Priok Port Wednesday, 24 of May.
The main purpose of this visit of this Russian Navy ship is to strengthen relationship and continue cooperation between Russian and Indonesian Navy. We will play soccer and bowling together with officers of Lantama 3, while on 25th May, we plan to exercise together with Indonesian Navy in PASEX or Passing Exercise and Communication Assistance. Beside that, Commander Alexei also invited the people of Jakarta to visit the Varyog ship in open ship program held on May 24, 2017. During the open ship program, the visitors can take a look on all parts of the ship that has 510 crew members. The 180-meter-long, 21-meter-wide, and 11,000-tons Varyog cruiser was produced in 1989. Ministers from 16 countries of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, met again on the 3rd RCEP International Ministerial Meeting in Tuesday in Hanoi, Vietnam. The meeting was held to provide direction and decision needed by the Trade Negotiation Committee of RCEP in an effort to handle the negotiation immediately for the head of state on the sideline of the 30th ASEAN conference last April. In the press release received by Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday, May 24, 2017, the Indonesian Trade Minister Enggartiasto Lukita said that the ministers welcomed the negotiation committee report, especially in connection with the negotiation of the market goods and service access, as well as the commitment in investment sector that has been achieved. The ministers also discussed several issues that need more direction, so the negotiation will have a significant progress later this year. The negotiation has reached the crisis point and many challenging issues to be resolved soon to achieve credibility, have facility rules of modern trade and commercially profitable agreement for the RCEP member countries. Minister Enggartiasto added that several issues have not been reached and agreed. This negotiation is not easy because every country has its own interests and different ability. There is guiding principle on the RCEP that needs to be followed, but Indonesia will not agree free trade agreement if it is not profitable. The last item, Indonesia is popular in the Saudi Food, Hotel and Hospitality, or SFHH, 2017 at Jeddah International Exhibition and Convention Center, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. The exhibition that is held from April 23rd to 26, 2017 has increased export value in Indonesia by booking a $4.12 million or more than 55 billion rupiah. According to the Indonesian Consulate General in Jeddah, M. Harry Saripuding, to boast the export value, the Indonesian Consulate General Trade and Economic Team has done several programs and innovation. One of them is participating in the Saudi Food, Hotel and Hospitality 2017. According to the press release received by Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday, May 24, 2017, Indonesia's non-gas export value to Saudi Arabia shows a positive result. Based on the statistic data from the Trade Ministry, until February 2017, the export value is more than $230.8 million or increased 11.94% since 2016 on the same period at the $206.2 million. The exhibition is also used to promote the 32nd Indonesian Trade Expo that will be held on October 11 to 15, 2017 in Jakarta. The Consulate General Trade and Economy Team of Jeddah has also socialized investment and tourism destination in Indonesia to Saudi Arabian people. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Indonesia and Vietnam agree to have diplomacy on Natuna dispute. Indonesia offers 3 mega projects to China during the One Belt, One Road conference. Indonesia prepares 5 tourist destinations for IMF World Bank delegation meetings. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll be right back. Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Thank you for joining the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listen to the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th, and now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan, Takashi Kawai from Japan, Akio Uemura from Japan, Prithviraj Purkayastha from India, Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India, Adita Pritika Subramanian from India, Titong Yang from China, Kong Lei from China, Chao Yanping from China, and Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled Manchester Bombing and British Election. Ariana Grande may never have dreamed that during her concert in Manchester on Monday, May 22, 2017, there will be a tragedy when the concert of one of the world's pop stars took place. There was a bomb explosion not far from the concert location. Ariana Grande was safe and expressed condolences to the victims through her Twitter account. British people have not forgotten the attack that happened 2 months ago in London. At that time, 4 people were killed and dozens of people were injured due to a deadly collision in the vicinity of the British Parliament building. Last Monday night, it was Manchester's turn to suffer a bomb attack. According to local authorities, no less than 19 people were killed and 50 wounded. One does not expect such incident to happen again in Britain, especially since the authorities have tightened security after the London attacks. The bombing came as a surprise in the midst of a heated political atmosphere ahead of the intermittent elections to be held in the second week of June. After the explosions in Manchester, leaders of Conservative Party Theresa May and Labour Party Jeremy Corbyn agreed to suspend the campaign. Conservative Party led by Prime Minister Theresa May took the initiative to carry out snap elections to speed up her plans out of the EU. Theresa May is currently in a dilemma because support for the Conservative Party or Tories has declined, while the trend of support to the Labour Party tends to increase. If the election is won by the Labour Party, the path with the EU will be more difficult. But it could be that after the attack in Manchester, the mood that united the British people in grief made the political atmosphere that had previously supported the Labour Party to change. It is hoped that the Manchester tragedy can soon be uncovered so as to prevent similar attack, not just in England but elsewhere. Hopefully, all the attacks do not interfere with the political agenda in the UK and interrupt the implementations of the general elections. Listener, that was commentary for today. I'm Dinu Graha. Thank you for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is an outstanding events happening today in the past, today in history with me, Nuka. We start from an event on May 24th when the Sudirman Cup is first held in Jakarta. The Sudirman Cup is the World Mixed Team Badminton Championship, which takes place every 2 years. There are 5 matches in every round, men and women's single, men and women's double and mixed doubles. The cup is named after Dick Sudirman, a former Indonesian badminton player and the founder of the Badminton Association of Indonesia. The first Sudirman Cup tournament took place in Bung Karno Stadium, Central Jakarta, Indonesia, on May 24 to May 29, 1989. There is no prize money in Sudirman Cup. Players play for their respective countries and to earn BWF world ranking points and national prestige. Next, we're moving on to May 24, 1979, where death of Rustam Effendi. Rustam Effendi is an Indonesian man, Minangkabau regional, and a character of Indonesian independence movement. Its presence in the repertoire of Indonesian literature is important enough. The spirit of resistance to colonial rule stated in writing poems and dramas that are metaphorical and become innovators in style. He is the Dutch East Indies first, became a member of Dutch Parliament. Rustam works very well known in Babasari, the plays that he wrote in the 1920s. This text was banned by the Dutch government. He died at the age of 76. The last information is coming from May 24, 1993, where independence of Eritrea. Eritrea is a country located in the northeastern part of Africa. Eritrea combined into a colony by the Kingdom of Italy on January 1, 1890. Eritrea achieved independence from Ethiopia on May 24, 1993, after fighting for 30 years from 1961 to 1991. Eritrea is a country that has many languages and cultures, with two major religions and nine tribes, with each of them speak in different languages. Well, listener, that was an outstanding event happening today in the past, today in history. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Sarah Reward Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Focus for Green, entitled 200 Years of Bogor Botanical Garden. Two centuries ago, precisely on April 15, 1817, Professor Renwart, a German botanist, proposed to the Governor General of the Dutch East Indies in Batavia, Baron van der Capellen, to establish a botanical garden as a research place. Renwart's proposal was filled by Capellen by giving a piece of land in the backyard of the Dutch Indies Governor's office in Bogor, West Java. On May 18, 1817, the first peg was erected by Renwart, assisted by James Hooper and W. Kent, the curator of the Kew Gardens from Richmond, England. That date marks the establishment of Bogor Botanical Garden, with Dr. Carl Ludwig Blume as the new director. As the first step, Blume took an inventory of existing plant collections in the garden, compiling the first garden catalogue, and successfully recorded 912 plant species. Over the time, Bogor Botanical Garden experienced several name changes, from Islands Plantatuin, the Wittenzorik, Botanis Twin, the Buitenzorg, Hortus Botanicus Bogoriensis, until finally becoming Bogor Botanical Garden. Starting from the backyard of the Dutch East Indies Governor's office, now Bogor Botanical Gardens has an area of about 87 acres, with a collection of 12,531 plant specimens, consisting of 3,228 types, 1,210 genera, and 214 tribes. Currently, Bogor Botanical Garden is one of the working units under the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, along with four other botanical gardens, namely Cipodas Botanical Gardens, Purwodadi Botanical Gardens, Eka Karya Bali Botanical Gardens, and Cibinong Science Center Botanical Gardens. This year is the 200 years of Bogor Botanical Garden. The 200th anniversary of the Bogor Botanical Garden on May 18 was attended by former Indonesia's President Megawati Soekarnoputri, the Chief of Staff of the President Teten Mas Duki, Ministry of Communication and Informatics Rudiantara, the Head of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences Iskandar Zulkarnain, and Bogor Mayor Bima Arya. It was also held a series of events in the 200 years commemoration of Bogor Botanical Garden.
These activities include the signing of second century by Megawati Soekarnoputri, the launching of second stamps Bogor Botanical Garden, plantation exhibition, Bogor Botanical Garden's 200K run, environmental education activities, fun bikes, international seminar, art and cultural festival, harmony in art, botanical garden photography competition, sport competitions between the botanical gardens and other activities. Listener, that was Focus for Ukraine, our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nika Kusumawati.
Five Filipino flag foreign fishing boats have been successfully ambushed in North Sulawesi waters by Indonesian Ministry of Fisheries and Marine Affairs patrol boat. Indonesia offered 3 mega projects to China on the One Belt, One Road conference in Beijing, China recently. The Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, said that China sees that Indonesia is a good investment partner. Indonesia will host the annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank in 2018. The meeting will be held in Nusa Dua, Bali in October 2018. Following several state visits conducted by several heads of state to Indonesia, such as King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud of Saudi Arabia and King Carl XVI Gustav of Sweden, Russian Ambassador to Indonesia Mikhail Yurievich Gagarin said during a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday, 24th of May, Russia is preparing a state visit to Indonesia. Russian cruiser Faryuk has docked at Tanjung Priok Port, Jakarta since 21st May 2017. The flagship of Russian Navy's Pacific Fleet is visiting Indonesia to strengthen relationship and cooperation between Russian and Indonesian Navy. Ministers from 16 countries of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, met again on the third RCEP International Ministers Meeting in Tuesday in Hanoi, Vietnam. Indonesia is popular in the Saudi Food, Hotel and Hospitality, SFHH 2017 at Jeddah International Exhibition and Convention Center Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. The exhibition that is held from April 23 to 26, 2017 has increased export value in Indonesia by booking a $4.12 million or more than 55 billion rupiah. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Akado Bulo tradition from South Sulawesi province. Stay tuned. Listeners, South Sulawesi has many hamlets and tribes which have various cultures and traditions. One of the traditions is Akado Bulo tradition at Tamalalang Hamlet, Taman Yeleng Village, Barombong Subdistrict Goa Regency, South Sulawesi. The hamlet has a distance around 10 kilometers from Makassar, the capital city of South Sulawesi. For the local people, the tradition has its own meaning. The tradition is a gathering event of relatives, and most relatives who stay far from the hamlet come to Tamalalang to attend this event. Listeners, annually, the local people of Tamalalang Hamlet celebrate the birth of the hamlet, which is called Atamu Taong, with Akadobulo tradition, or to eat Kadobulo, a dish which is usually known with the name Lemang. Akadobulo tradition in Makassar language means food from bamboo, so it is extra dish which is eaten at the celebration and it is cooked in piece of bamboo. To cook kadobulo, a mixture of glutinous rice and coconut milk, which is wrapped banana leaf, is entered into piece of bamboo. The tube of bamboo, which is has 40 cm long, is cooked by heating uprightly around the fireplace for about 3 hours until done. After being cooked, the kadobulo inside the bamboo is split and ready to be eaten, with a sprinkling of serundeng, grated coconut which is fried without oil, with various ingredients. Kadobulo becomes the main dish which is served by villagers to relatives or the guests. Listeners, Akadobulo tradition has taken place from the period of the 9th king of Goa, namely I Matanre Karaeng Manguntungi Tumaparisi Kolona, who was in command in 1510 until 1546. The narration was immortalized in scripts of Goa Kingdom, which is called Lontara Bilang. Then, the 9th king of Goa instructed to build Somba Opu Fortress in 1525. At the time, the king asked to all villages, which were a surrounding area of the fortress, to participate in preparing food for the workers. Tamalalang is one of hamlets which has a distance around 1 kilometer from Somba Opu. Tamalalang people also make kadobulo to supply food for the workers, because it can last for 2 to 3 days. Since that time, Akadobulo becomes a tradition which is always celebrated by Tamalalang people to commemorate the birth of hamlet as well as harvest season. Listeners, Akadobulo tradition used to stop when the war in Makassar broke in 1666 and continued with the occupation of the Dutch until the independence 1945. The tradition is held again after the independence of Indonesia by the 36th King of Goa, who was also the first regent of Goa, Andi Ijo Daeng Matawang Karaeng Lalolang Sultan Muhammad Abdul Qadir Aidudin. He suggested that Akadobulo is connected to the commemoration of the independence of Indonesia as folk party. Since the time, Akadobulo tradition has been celebrated not long time after the commemoration of the Independence Day. The celebration is also enlivened by attraction of art. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Akadobulo tradition from South Sulawesi Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
fellow listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, thank you for joining the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listener, the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th, and now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan. Takashi Kawai from Japan. Akio Uemura from Japan. Prithviraj Purkayastha from India. Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India. Adita Pritika Subramanian from India. Titong Yang from China. Kong Lei from China. Chao Yanping from China. And Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Membatalkan Rencana, which in English means cancelling the plan. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Hello. Hello in English, hello. Bagaimana? Bagaimana in English, how. Rencana. Rencana in English, plan. Hari ini. Hari ini, in English, today. Mungkin, mungkin, in English, maybe. Lupa, lupa, in English, to forget. Pergi, pergi, in English, to go. Toko buku, in English, bookstore. Maaf, maaf, in English, be sorry. Tidak bisa, tidak bisa, in English, cannot. Mengantar, mengantar, in English, to take. Adik, adik, in English, younger brother or younger sister. Dokter, dokter, in English, doctor. Kepastian, kepastian, in English, certainty. Menunggu, menunggu, in English, to wait for. Sampai jumpa, in English, see you. Besok, besok, in English, tomorrow. Now, we give you an example of conversation entitled Membatalkan rencana, or in English means cancelling the plan. The conversation is between A. Andy and B. Budi. Andy, hello Budi, bagaimana rencana kita hari ini? Hello Budi, bagaimana rencana kita hari ini? In English, hello Budi, how about is our plan today? Budi, rencana apa Andy? Rencana apa, Andy? In English, what is the plan, Andy? Andy, mungkin kamu lupa, kita akan pergi ke toko buku. Mungkin kamu lupa, kita akan pergi ke toko buku. In English, maybe you have forgot it. We have planned to go to a bookstore. Budi, oh maaf, saya tidak bisa pergi denganmu. Oh maaf, saya tidak bisa pergi denganmu. In English, oh I'm sorry, I cannot go with you. Saya harus mengantar adik ke dokter. Saya harus mengantar adik ke dokter. In English, I have to take my younger sister to a doctor. Andi, oh begitu, bagaimana kalau besok? Oh begitu, bagaimana kalau besok? In English, I see. How about tomorrow? Budi, baiklah, untuk memastikan nanti aku telepon kamu kembali. Baiklah, untuk memastikan nanti aku telepon kamu kembali. In English, alright. To get certainty, I will call you later. Andi, baiklah, aku tunggu teleponmu. Baiklah, aku tunggu teleponmu. In English, okay, I will wait for your call. Sampai jumpa besok. Sampai jumpa besok. In English, see you tomorrow. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you next week with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you again and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Anis, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to a band called The Binary. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Karena Dia, sung by The Binary. Happy listening.
Semua yang terjadi ini benar. Saling lupa satu dan lainnya. Ada lagi rasa kasih sayang yang pernah ku rasa.
Listener, the song that made the band be formed in 2004 began to be known by the people. The Mannery is a 5-member personnel of popular music group, Ravely as a bassist, Yudi as a guitarist, Egi as a leading guitarist, Odo as a keyboardist, and Adam as a drummer. The Mannery was formed because of the fifth love of his personnel against the legendary British band The Beatles. The Mannery career in Indonesian music world began since all the personnel were in high school. At that time, they went around the mall bringing the Beatles songs. Love of the legendary band was quite influential on the musicality of the Mannery. Most of the songs composed by the Mannery have the feeling of the Beatles, which are so thick. One of the songs is Karena Dia that you have heard earlier. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Cemburisme. Happy listening.
Selamat datang di tur wisata asmara. Semoga kalian semua bisa menikmati perjalanan.
Setiap saat kita bertemu, aku muak melihat wajahmu. Dengan semua sikapmu yang selalu menjengkelkan aku. Kau bagai sampah membuatku jadi pencemburu tak menentu. Kau hembuskan wujud dan rayu
listener, the song Cemburisme became part of the debut The Mannery album entitled Janji Pasti. In 2012, The Mannery lost his keyboardist, Odo, as he resigned the pursuit of his dream. This also made the rest of the Mannery personnel have to rack their brains so their songs can still be sung without the keyboardist. As a result, Everything went smoothly and even the binary could still write new songs in 2013. Listeners, like other musicians, the binary has a fan group called Binarizer, who always faithfully support their work and performance. To appreciate the dedication of his fans, the binary also released a song entitled SDKK, standing for Salam Dasi Kupu Kupu, made specifically for Binarizer. Uniquely, although only released in social media, the song SDKK can still occupy several high positions radio charts. With the song of the easy listening, Binary is easy to get a place in the hearts of Indonesian music lovers. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled SDKK and Alisa. Happy listening and see you again.
Ingatlah salam dasi kubu kubu, salam hangat dari the battery. Ucapkan salam dasi kubu kubu, dengarkan salam dasi kubu kubu, sampaikan salam dasi kubu kubu. Ingatlah salam dasi kubu kubu, salam hangat dari the battery.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Berkali-kali ku dekati kau bagai acu taju.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.